Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. And we are in a new series on resurrection, the power of his resurrection. And in episode one, if you haven't heard it, you want to go back and just pick it up. We kind of laid the foundation of, you know, Paul's cry. I want to know the Lord, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And so when you start like that, you got to go to the Gospels and begin to read about the resurrection of Jesus. And that's kind of where we went. Now, when it comes to resurrection, we really have to lay a foundation. Because the resurrection of Jesus, it just isn't something that just happened. You know, oh, wow, there was a resurrection. No, that's not what happened. The resurrection is something that was so deeply, it was like a birthmark in the Jewish people. And so that's where we want to head today. And we should call it resurrection, the birthmark. And so there is a birthmark of resurrection faith. So let's go to prayer first, and then let's get into the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for the power of this message, that this is not a new message. This message of resurrection is thousands of years old. It's full of life. It's never lost its power. It's in operation. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for resurrection glory right now. And Lord, as my friends are listening, if there's any area that's died in them, I'm believing that resurrection power is going to bring newness of life. And, you know, I just kind of feel the Lord say, don't look to the past to try to determine if something's alive again. Because when I breathe upon you, I'm going to cause this to live, and it's going to be in the here and now, the present tense. So don't go to the back and try to figure it out. For even Paul said, I don't look behind me, I press forward. And so, Father, I just sense that encouragement of the Spirit of God, that life is going to be the reality, the fruit of these lessons. And it's ooh, hallelujah. And Lord, I want to thank you. We press forward in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, Romans 4 and verse 16. Now, the Bible says, therefore, it is of faith that it may be, what? By grace, by the grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all of the seed, and to that, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so it's not just talking about the Jews there, and it's not just talking about the Gentiles. It's talking about all men. All men have the ability to believe. And the thing that's very important here is Abraham did not know the law of Moses. Moses was still inside of Abraham, and he wasn't born yet. The law hadn't come yet. But Abraham received his righteousness by faith. And so throughout the Bible, the just shall live by faith, not by the law, but by faith. And so he received righteousness because he believed. And so we know that the work of the Lord is to believe. And so Abraham believed. So as we get into this, it's important that we approach resurrection not from law, but by faith. So even as we listen, by the hearing of faith, resurrection power is in operation. Even right now as I'm speaking, I'm receiving that resurrection glory of Jesus Christ working in me, working in my friends as you listen. Now let's go on. It's of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all, as it's written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they are. And so here's two wonderful characteristics of God. He makes alive dead things. Isn't that great? It's so simple. He takes dead things and he makes them alive. And I believe that, and I've been saying it, I'm prophesying it, that there are dead things in you he's just going to cause to come alive again. That's exciting. And it's exciting for me. I can't wait to get deeper into these. I think we're going to go get into these so far, we're not even going to realize, hey, we're really full of life. We're just so hungry for the Lord, so hungry to know him and in the power of his resurrection, that things have just started to come alive, blooming. You're going to go out and people are going to say, what is different about you? I remember my mom was telling me back in the 70s, when she came into the Charismatic Renewal and got baptized in the Holy Ghost, reading Dennis Bennett's book, 9 o'clock in the morning. And she just stayed on her face, said, God, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want this tongues. I want everything that you have. And, you know, and she didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a service. She got that wonderful baptism on her face, on the carpet, crying out to God, and the Lord met her. And that's it's a precious story. But she said, after she received this wonderful grace of God, she just would sing and hum. And the kids are like, she was a school teacher. The kids are like, Mrs. Castro, why is it you're humming all day? Every time, you know, you're walking around and you just kind of have a melody in your heart. Wow, there was something alive in her. And so I just want you to look at Isaiah chapter 35, and this is just kind of coming to me, and then we're going to go right back into what we were looking at. Isaiah 35, it says this, for the eyes of the blind, this is verse 5, shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those that are wayfaring men. Though fools, they shall not err therein. Now listen, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. Now listen to this. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is what we're talking about. When Jesus came out of the tomb, a new door, a new way was opened up for every man, every woman, every child on this planet to begin to walk in resurrection power and to walk in the double blessing grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, Jesus' passion created a temple, and God always puts the Shekinah, he puts his glory completely on the temple. It's his. It's not yours. You don't have the right to create a doctrine that changes the glory of God on the temple. He declared, you wait in Jerusalem, you receive the promise, you receive the power. That is his command, and so I've received it. And I tell you what, it changes you. It changes you. And just this morning, I spent a lot of time just praying in that Holy Spirit prayer language, speaking out the mysteries of God, praying the perfect will of God. You only benefit as you stay in communion. Communion with the Lord is not a wafer and some grape juice. It is communion, and it's supernatural, and that wonderful supernatural operation of tongues. You know, we're the children of God. We're not children of, you know, some company or some we're the children of God. That is supernatural. And if you have an unsupernatural life, something's got to change in you, because there is something supernatural about this life of being with Christ. You know, just a few days ago, I was in Budapest with the cross, and I've never been to Budapest before. And they said, well, Brother Eric, let's go over to this square on the Buddha side of the city. And so we went. I've never been there before. And a pastor from the other side of Hungary came several hours by car just to meet me and to be a part of this outreach. And he wanted to see it and said, you know, I'd like to bring the crosswalk over to the eastern part of Hungary. Well, we're out there. And his name is Michael, Pastor Michael. And a man yells, "Pastor Michael, Pastor Michael," in Hungarian language. Michael turns around. "Who are you?" The man said, 30 years ago, you led me to the Lord in a meeting, and I gave my life to Christ. That was a long time ago. But you know what? I got offended. I got hurt, and I've walked away from the Lord. But today here in Buda, I see you, and I want to give my life back to the Lord. Would you pray with me? And I just sit back and I think, okay, God brings this guy from the States into Budapest, and he brings this pastor from the other side of Hungary into Budapest. And then all of a sudden, in this square, at the exact time that it needed to be, this man who had been prayed with Pastor Michael 30 years ago, bumps into Pastor Michael 30 years later. He's in a backslidden state. He wants to receive the Lord. And Pastor Michael, pray with me again. How do you do that? Well, it's a supernatural life that we live. I don't expect these things to be normal. I expect angels in operation around me, helping me to carry the gospel. It should be the same with you. I know it's the same with you. We're all growing. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get a little hurt, maybe get hindered. But you know, the Lord comes with such supernatural love and resurrection, and he begins to bring life back on the inside of us. So that, why? We're supernatural people. And so, well, I got into a little bit of a preach there. But so Isaiah 35, you know, there is sorrow and sighing, I believe, is going to begin to be so intimidated and fearful of you because of this life of God coming. Now, let's go back to Abraham here. So, like unto God, he was standing in the presence of God before the Lord's presence, just a normal guy trusting God. And like God, he's learning to be like God. Now, this Romans chapter 4, you say, well, give me an Old Testament example of this. Well, I will. It's in Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let them have dominion. That's exactly what Abraham was walking into. He was like God. God who raises the dead and calls things that be not as though they are. And Jesus was always talking to his disciples about speak to the mountain, speak to the tree, speak to the impossibility, and believe God to move it. That's what Jesus, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't like, oh, the faith message. You can't please God without faith. And so it sounds like the devil is involved with doctrines that attack faith. He always is. And so Jesus said, where's your faith? Why is your faith little? What's wrong with you? Where's your faith? You know, because he's the author and the finisher of faith. So when you're spending time with the Lord, you know what he's doing. He's working on your faith. Or he's questioning you, where is your faith? Are you even trying to believe? And so here's Abraham. Okay, God, you raised the dead. So here is Abraham against hope, verse 18. He believed in hope. Why? He was learning to be like God, who quickens the dead and calls things that be not as though they are. He raises the dead. So I'm right now, my friend, I'm talking to me, I'm talking to you. You may be against hope, but you can believe in hope. Because God's going to fill you with joy and peace in believing so that you abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is a resurrection message. God has me anointed to bring this message to you. And so I believe, and you were in agreement, that things are going to change. I just believe right now as you listen, you just say, I'm in agreement, Pastor Eric, Brother Eric, I'm in agreement. That he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not. Stop looking at the problem. Don't consider the problem. Consider God who raises the dead and calls things that be not as though they are, when he was still about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able to perform. What was the problem with Abraham? Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. Their wombs were dead. Actually, probably it was Sarah. Her womb was not alive. And that wasn't a factor to God, because God takes dead things and he makes them live. And so here's this really old lady, and God says, you're going to have a baby. And she laughs. And she's, and the Lord said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And he said, you did laugh. Don't try to lie to the Lord. He knows everything. And he's also, he probably laughed a little bit himself too. He's very kind. He's very gentle. And when she laughed and said, no, I didn't, she was embarrassed. And he just corrected it. You did laugh. And, but he loved him so much. There were a point in time that life, just life. I want you to see life coming in to your barren womb, area that's barren, just hasn't produced. I just see the Lord walking into some fields right now. They're hard. They haven't produced. They just, and it's going to change because Jesus walks into the field and the dynamic of the field changes because of resurrection, resurrection life. Now, when we take this, let's look at Hebrews here. Hebrews chapter 11, because we're talking about faith. You can't deal with resurrection without faith, right? I mean, that's just a reality. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, when you look at the wordiology here, the wording, it sounds like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he, what, gave his only begotten son. Abraham was asked by God, offer up your only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a type and a figure. So you say, well, what's happening here? Well, I tell you, this is some of the most dynamic teaching from the Word that we can get into. I mean, we don't even have to, we just have to read it and just let it preach to us. God needed a covenant partner for resurrection. That's what's happening. Abraham didn't know that when God called him, hey, Abraham, I want you to follow me. He had no idea that this relationship with God, the depth that God was hungering for. So Abraham begins to follow him, and it's a great story. But what you have here is after God brings Abraham through such miraculous birth, I personally would be tempted to think, okay, that's the climax of my life. I've reached the pinnacle. You know, I couldn't have a kid, and now I have this promised son. Well, that wasn't where God was thinking. And I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. God's not done with your life. So get up, get out of that chair. Get out of that negativity. Get out of that, oh, I'm a failure and an impossibility. God's not done with you, so you might as well get up. And so here, God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you enjoying your son? Oh, yes, Father, this wonderful son that you gave me, miraculous son. Okay, your only son. And to God, that's the only thing that counted. I know there was Ishmael, But and God loved Ishmael. God blessed Ishmael. But God did not acknowledge Ishmael because God had only said, Abraham, through Sarah, is this son going to come? It was very holy. It was very set apart unto the Lord. And he says, he is your only begotten son. Whew, that's some tough theology right there. And the Arab nations have struggled with that. That what they perceive is rejection. And it's not a rejection, but in a sense, it is rejection. Ishmael did not have the blessing. Isaac did because of what God said. It has nothing to do with Abraham or Sarah. God said. God said, Abraham, that's your land. God said. It doesn't matter what other people say. The land belongs to God. He gives it to Abraham to tend and to live on and to oversee the land, but it belongs to God. And he says, I'm going to give you Isaac. And now that I give you Isaac, I want you to sacrifice him there. Whew. Oh my. Oh my. So Abraham goes out and he doesn't tell, I don't think he told Sarah. I think he said, Sarah, we're going to go fishing. We're going to go do something together, father and son. And Sarah sees them pack up, you know, the donkeys and everything. And Sarah's thinking they're putting a lot of wood on that one donkey. And so they go. And then after about 3 days, Abraham sees the place, Mount Moriah, where Jerusalem is today. He tells the servants to wait. He doesn't want them to try to stop him, right? Nobody's going to understand this, right? Abraham was not a pagan. He loved God. But Abraham knew he had to go and offer. And so Abraham goes to, I believe, where what we would call the Dome of the Rock, where the Temple of Israel, the Temple of the Jews should be. That's such a holy place, and the devil's going to contend for it. He's been contending for that place ever since this event. And so Abraham builds everything. He says, son, I have to do this. You know I love God, and God wants me to offer you. And Isaac submits. But this faith that Abraham has, he knew, God, you gave me this son, you gave me the promises, and if I sacrifice him, then you've got to raise him back to life. Abraham was flowing in resurrection. Isaac was saturated in resurrection. There was no harm going to come to Isaac. The power of resurrection faith was so saturating this event that, I can't wait to watch the video of it. I can't wait. I don't know if Heaven's videos kind of can put you right there, like as if you're there in the spirit of the anointing and the glory of this event. And so he raises the knife. God says, you've done it, Abraham. Your faith now has reached the pinnacle of what the Lord wants with your life. And there's a ram in the thicket. They take it. They sacrifice the ram. Isaac is very happy that he didn't die, as you and I would be very happy as well. And something has changed. Now, the birthmark of resurrection is on the Jewish nation. Resurrection faith now has saturated Mount Moriah. It belongs to God. It is a city whose builder and maker is God. And of course, later, we know Jerusalem's going to be established on that place. It's a city that belongs to God. And so Abraham goes back to his tent. Now, the devil, he goes, oh boy, what am I going to do now? And he sees this place that's very special. And all of a sudden, he moves the different tribes in order to conquer that so God can never have that land. But that's not going to be that way. Later on, David takes Jerusalem and establishes it as the capital of Israel. And let me tell you something. It was the capital of Israel all the way back when Abraham, functioning in resurrection faith, lifted that knife. Now, listen, that's enough for now. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. We've received something of the glory of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless my friends. We prophesy life into our lives. We thank you that we're going to bear fruit, wonderful fruit, walking with Jesus, knowing him in the power of his resurrection. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Also, sow a seed of faith and resurrection. Hit the give button. Go in there and sow a seed, believing God as you sow that you're just getting involved in this thing. And I believe that you're gonna reap such blessing. Listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.